Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Politically Speaking Podcast. I'm your host, Chris McDaniel, a reporter with St. Louis Public Radio. Joining me in studio is...
Jason Rosenbaum.
And...
Joe Manis.
And our special guest this week is...
Hazel Irby, St. Louis County Council.
Well, I think that there's a lot that we can talk about today. There's a lot taking place in St. Louis County that is worth dissecting a little bit. But to start us off here, how long have you been on the council?
I've been there 10 years now. I'm entering my third term. Mm-hmm.
And where does your district entail? This is for our listeners so they can understand.
I represent the first district, which is University City on the south. And I go all the way north to 270 and New Halls Ferry, east to the Riverview Circle. It encompasses 38 municipalities.
Including the infamous Ferguson.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. So what were you before you became a council person, and sort of what made you want to take this job on?
I was a committee woman for the University Township Democratic Club. I was kind of drafted into this position. I had no idea. I attended a meeting one morning. And when I left the meeting, I was it. I was the candidate.
to back up a little bit, back in 2003, current county executive Charlie Dooley became the county executive and vacated his county council seat.
That's because Buzz Westfall, who was the county executive, died in office.
So obviously, Dooley's seat needed a replacement,
yes.
And Hazel Irby is the replacement and has been for 10 plus years.
Right. And you've won re-election several times.
Yes.
Including this past August against Wesley Bell.
Yes, August 5th.
So tell me a little bit about your role on the council. You're currently the chairwoman of the council, which is kind of a rotating position. Just explain what a county council person does and what you're doing now as chairperson.
As chairperson, we, of course, set the agenda for the council. This is my second time as chair. We do rotate, this was my time came up, just happened to come up with as I was campaigning. So that was kind of a difficult position to be in, to have to campaign and also chair the council. But as chair, you do set the agenda. You handle all of the issues that involve the council. You're kind of the point person of the seven person council.
And I think in your situation, one of the reasons why you were thrust into the spotlight more before the Ferguson situation was it was a very hotly contested primary between Charlie Dooley and Councilman Steve Stanger, and it kind of bled over into the council meeting to very theatrical results, so to speak. I know you probably don't want to relive those memories, but can you just tell us a little bit about what happened over the last couple of months?
And what position it put you in. Now, you, of course, had endorsed Dooley.
Yes, it was an awkward position because I'm working with both of them, the county executive, and then Steve, of course, is my colleague on the council. Prior to that, we all got along very well. In fact, Steve and I talked many times about the rapport of all of the council members. But then as soon as Steve threw his hat in the ring, the whole picture changed. Mm-hmm. Then we were, I wouldn't say forced to take sides or whatever, but a lot of things began to happen during the campaign that I took issues with because, and I said this over and over, I think that when you're running for office, you should run on your record and not go looking for problems to highlight yourself and make yourself look like you are, I guess, above the rest of the council members. And that's how I felt.
One of the particular issues that was particularly heated was minority participation in the county. And you sponsored, I think, several bills that aimed to broaden minority participation in contracts.
And
those bills didn't end up passing because it didn't seem like the rest of the council supported them. They supported another version of it that had, I guess, a different threshold. Could you kind of explain what that situation was?
Right. I called it the watered-down version. My bill had certain goals. It was a 25% goal for minorities, women, and small businesses. The other bill didn't have any goals. It required apprenticeship training, mm-hmm. and there was a threshold of $25,000, which was too low for businesses, small businesses, and minorities to participate in the bidding process. So the alternative bill, was the opposite of mine. My bill had $1 million threshold, and it required 25% participation of minority women and small businesses.
And the alternative bill ended up passing but has been vetoed. I don't think that the council has overridden the veto yet, so it's kind of a limbo period right now.
Right. It's in limbo. It's just hanging there, and I'm kind of worried about that. I don't know what that's all about, because we certainly have had time to deal with the issue. I thought it would be after the primary election, but it looks like we're still going to hold that.
So one of the reasons why it kind of faded from the headlines is obviously the situation in Ferguson,
right.
which is in your district. Many people who represent Ferguson are, you know, live there, have gained kind of more attention and prominence. So we kind of want to shift gears to that.
Yeah, and kind of your thought, when did you first learn that Ferguson was blowing up, so to speak? Different people have told me that it was basically that Sunday, the day after the shooting, when things really got tense. I was interested in kind of when you found out what was going on and then what you tried to do or didn't do, and kind of what sort of behind-the-scenes discussions were there with various officials up there.
I learned about the incident on Saturday, the day that it happened, within a couple of hours, I guess, because it went viral on the Internet, Facebook. In fact, I was at a going-away party for my grandson who was leaving for college and was on Facebook at the same time. And I got the message over Facebook, and I could see the body in the street, and people were saying on Facebook that it was wrong, and that the body was just, you know, there, no ambulance, how he had been shot with his hands up. So I attempted to go to the scene. However, my family wouldn't allow it because we saw on Facebook where the crowd was kind of out of control, and we even heard about gunshots. I'm not sure if that was true or not. However, I said as long as I could, and so probably around maybe about as soon as, I guess, the body had just been taken away when I arrived on the scene, right. and I talked to some of the neighbors.
Right. And I think that was Saturday. People were angry, but
yes.
There was no unrest until Sunday. I believe that the county executive was there on Sunday, and he faced kind of a hostile reception. Did you face that type of reception when you went there, or what was kind of your sense of the crowd in those early moments?
No, not at all. I didn't. Some of the crowd knew me. We had just had the 4th of July parade in Ferguson, where I participate every year for the last 10 years. And when I went up to a group of people and started asking questions, I heard one of the residents say, "You know who she is. She's in the parade every year," and so they were comfortable in answering my questions.
What do you think prompted the unrest to the degree that because as we know, in recent days there's been a police shooting in the city of St. Louis that hasn't generated the type of unrest that the one in Ferguson did. What do you think prompted all the upset?
Several things. One, I think the day that it happened, so many people witnessed the incident and thought it was unfair and unjust, and witnessed the body there in the street and no ambulance, the behavior of the police. But after that point, I think the transparency of the police department, the police chief, the mayor, everybody involved was slow in coming forth with information. And I think that's what angered the people so.
You know, this sort of all comes down to a community that has a really poor relationship with the police department. And then after these protests began, the response of the police was largely, bringing out armored vehicles, using tear gas. The nights that I was out there, there were sniper rifles. Do you think that that response was appropriate? And what role do you think that that had in sort of inflaming the situation?
No, I don't think that was appropriate. And I think that people who were not there at the time, who witnessed that on television, because when I came home that evening, I had been at a meeting or something somewhere to do with Ferguson and had been gone most of the day. When I got home and saw the late news and saw that on national TV, I was in shock. It looked like some third world country or something. I couldn't believe that it was in Ferguson. And so that aggravated me and frustrated me. And I'm not a violent person or, you know, one who gets upset easily. But that, in addition to the shooting of Mike Brown, of course, really upset me. To think that that was the answer to dealing with the residents instead of the mayor or the city council coming forward or the chief of police coming forward and speaking to the public, that this was the answer.
Now, one of the things that I've kind of learned through combing through Ferguson's charter and statutes and also researching St. Louis County is the mayor and the city council have very little direct control over the police department, which is similar to many St. Louis County municipalities. And obviously, the county is governed by a police board that's appointed by the county executive. And I would say the county executive has a little more power, but not direct power. And I know that's a structural question, but given that all that's happened over the last 2 weeks, do you think it might be time to maybe rethink that arrangement, maybe have elected officials like yourself or the county executive or the mayor more directly involved in the affairs of these departments?
I definitely think that we should be more involved because when things go wrong, we are held responsible for it. So therefore, we should have more input, more say-so about what goes on. And I know that in Ferguson, the mayor says that he has no control over the police department or the city council has no control. But I don't agree with that because the mayor and the city council decide who's on the police. As far as I know,
they appoint the city manager and the city manager is, you know, responsible to the council. So I think that's the way the relationship works.
Yeah. Right. And many of the municipalities in St. Louis County have the city manager system where the city manager is hired by the council, but they in effect run the city and call the shots. So to change that would appear to require some changes in,
City charters, county charters, state law,
stuff like
that. State
law governs a lot of the classes. And in the case of St. Louis County, isn't the council's power limited as far as the municipalities? I mean, as opposed to the unincorporated areas?
Yes, exactly. They have their own government. We have no control over a city like Ferguson or University City or any municipal government. We only control the unincorporated areas. However, I just feel that some cities hide behind that city manager type of government. They get involved in everything else. And I'm basing it on my city where I live. I know that the mayor says that she's not in control, but I know very well that the city manager and the mayor work together on issues that are important to the city.
Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit kind of about the last couple of weeks and the political leaders' reaction to it, because a lot of the people who have been who represent Ferguson have become a lot more high profile. I think you were on a few national shows. Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal was on basically every national show. Committeewoman Patricia Bynes has been on a lot of shows. It really has upped the profile of people that represent Ferguson. What role do you think political leaders played during this situation? Do you think that the people that represented Ferguson, handled things well? Because I heard a couple times there was some detachment between elected leadership and the people on the ground. Did you feel that? Like, what was kind of your take on that?
Yes, I do feel that. I feel that city council in Ferguson didn't handle the situation well at all. And that could explain why some of the other leaders came forward, because some of the leaders from the city came forward. This was a problem, I think, that impacted everyone in our area, not just our area, as you can see, across the country because of the nature of the tragedy. But I do think that the the leadership in Ferguson was kind of detached and in denial about what actually happened. Mm-hmm. I heard the mayor say on national TV that there was no race problem in Ferguson. And the host of the show said, "Have you been watching TV this week?" Which I thought was very appropriate. I've talked to the mayor before about the issues at Canfield Green, and he doesn't seem to be approachable.
Now, but you had told me before, though, that you were kind of confused why a lot of city leaders were getting involved in mm-hmm. this. Were you still kind of perturbed by that, or as the situation went on, were you more receptive to outside people getting involved? And by city, I mean the city of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. No, they have a right, I would say, to be concerned, but I still think, and I've said this before, that I think all of this stems from, even the shooting of Michael Brown, stems from a lack of respect. A lack of respect on the part of the police department, the city leaders coming out and saying and doing some of the things that they did was a lack of respect for the leadership in St. Louis County. I think that we all have to remember our roles and play a part. Come out and ask, can you help? But don't come out and completely try to take control of the situation.
Now, in Ferguson, as in some other areas, it's not just the police who, the racial makeup that doesn't reflect the local community. It's also many of the councils, of these municipalities, and Ferguson is among them, yeah. where even though the racial makeup of the community is over 60% African-American, the council is not. Now, but the bottom line is it's people vote on it.
Right.
So the issue becomes, are people becoming engaged enough? I know there's some voter registration drives now. Are you concerned at all about whether or not that they are acting on the streets, but maybe not going to the polls and making sure that the elected officials they have a voice in who's elected, who represents them in these positions?
I'm very concerned about the fact that people don't come out to vote and they don't understand their role in government and what they contribute to it. I've seen some of the young people on television saying, we expect our leaders to do this or that, and we expect our older leaders that have been there for a while to come forward and do this or that. We can't go in the booth and vote for them. What them voting has everything to do with who serves, who represents them on the city council, who represents them as mayor. The mayor just won re-election.
Mm-hmm.
He just, I think, maybe a year ago.
Yeah, and this is not completely uncommon in North County. When I was writing about kind of the amount of municipalities in North St. Louis County, I met several Caucasian mayors of primarily black towns. For example, the mayor of Pasadena Hills, which I think is about 60% or 70% black, is a white person, because he told me that nobody else wanted to run for the seat, and that was pretty much it. And I'm sure that's replicated several more times throughout North County. So it's something to think
about. Well, it's actually all over the county. Many of these municipalities, regardless of the racial makeup, there aren't that many people who run for these posts. Most of the mayoral posts are not paid.
Mm-hmm. Are paid very little,
maybe expenses. That's true for many of the local boards, aldermen or council as well. Is there anything that you think can be done to help increase the engagement of people who have been upset over what's going on as far as actually trying to be heard?
First of all, I'd like to comment on the fact that the makeup of the councils and the mayor and people wanting to run, people's desire to run for office. I think that people see so much negative, so many negative things go on in races, these political races. Example, the past the county executive race, and they see what happens to people in the news media. People just don't want to be involved in that. And I was always one of them. I never wanted to be in politics. I had no desire but for those very reasons. But I just happened to be that morning in the I don't know, right place or the wrong, whatever you want to call it. And so once somebody says to me, we need you and whatever, I've never been able to turn down, you know, walk away from the call. So I think that people are just totally turned off by politics.
But looking at this sort of on a grand scale, what do you think should be the takeaway of everything that happened over the past few weeks? Are there measures that the council can take so that police departments are more reflective of the communities? You know, are there measures that the council could take to increase how many cameras are on police cars and are actually on police officers? What should be the takeaway from this?
I think that the police officers should have cameras, number one. I think that one of the initiatives that we're going to work on is to educate the public about their government, the layers of government, the roles of government, and to try to mentor and recruit people who would make good elected officials.
Yeah, because the county council has no power over these local police departments at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
None. So I guess that comes down to another issue that's been brought up. That was an issue I was working on and I alluded to before. It's just the fact that there are so many police departments in the county. I don't know the exact number, but I'm sure it's dozens, if not the small dozens.
Oh, yeah, more than
that. I think that, you know, there's been some questions about whether some of those police departments should consolidate, whether the county should take over some of those police departments. Obviously, that was a situation in Uplands Park and in Jennings, which I think are both in your district.
Yes.
Do you think those types of ideas should be on the table, or is that kind of missing the point as far as what's going on?
I think it would be a good idea. The county executive, when I first came on the council, attempted to consolidate some of the municipalities as well as the police departments, and that wasn't received very well. As a person who represents 38 municipalities, I would love to see it done. But where do you start? Because I have municipalities that are, for instance, like Kinloch, rich heritage, very well supported by the people who live there and have moved on. They have wonderful events every year. Mm-hmm. So how do you start and where do you start? It's kind of... Yeah. It would have to be the municipalities that ask us to do that.
Yeah, when you're talking about taking over police or something like
that. Right, right.
And frankly, that would be, I think, wouldn't that take some sort of state action? Because the council has no, I mean, the council can't unilaterally take over these.
Or it would be the communities themselves. For example, as I mentioned before, Pasadena Hills, they have Normandy patrolling them because I'm assuming the council voted to contract with them. Jennings voted to contract with St. Louis County and get rid of their police department. A lot of this is done on a local council level, if
correct,
I'm not mistaken.
But it's voluntarily, but they have to want to do it.
Right, they do it. It's not up to us. We can't do it. Like when Uplands Park came to us and wanted us to kind of mediate that whole effort, we had to make sure that everybody knew that it was not us. It was not driven by St. Louis County. That was the citizens who requested our help. And as you see, the citizens voted against it.
Against disincorporating, by the way.
Yes.
And that's kind of one of the difficulties. There was an article, I think, either in the Washington Post or some City Lab, I think it was called, that took this posture that all the municipalities should merge into one municipality, merge with the city of St. Louis. It's the mega merger, or as I like to call on Twitter, the Tony Messenger plan. And just... It's an interesting idea, and I think it's one that deserves discussion, but practically it's a very difficult thing to achieve because there's so many municipalities, either the people or the leadership, that don't want to cease to exist.
It won't happen. In fact, I mean, the people like in Washington Post and other places, all they got to do is look at Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Baltimore, the city of Baltimore is not part of Baltimore County. They have a similar situation, although they don't have as many municipalities. I mean, it's rare that something happens like what happened in Indianapolis 40 years ago, where they were able to get most of the municipalities to agree to merge with the city of Indianapolis, and Indianapolis, in effect, expanded its borders to include most of the mm-hmm. county. Now, on Tuesday night, the council did take some action to earmark some money for Ferguson. Do you want to talk about that and what the aim is as far as what that money should be used for?
That money in the legislation we passed last night, the $1 million, is for the residents of Ferguson and the surrounding areas. That's to give them support on anything that they may have lost as a result of the 17 days the lady spoke about last night that they have been.
And this was a business owner in Buzz Westfall Center, by the way, but continue.
Mm-hmm. Which this doesn't include the businesses in that legislation. And that's what the discussion was last night, mm-hmm. that some of the council members wanted that money to include the businesses. But as I pointed out, we have a list of the businesses that were affected. And I don't think it's an inclusive list because I know the lady who spoke last night was not on the list. So my point was is that we have $1 million and we're helping the residents. But if you include all of the businesses, which was 100 plus on the list that I already have, and I know that some of them, one of two of them that I visited said that they had lost like $50,000. So how far will that money go if you include all of the businesses?
Right, which is why I think there's a separate effort to help businesses that's being done by the Economic Development Agency. Right. So that's probably going to be an immense effort.
Now, what is your thought? I mean, because since you are council chairman, just across the street is the Justice Center and County Prosecutor Bob McCullough, who's been under fire because you have some officials who wanted him to recuse himself from overseeing the investigation into the shooting. Now, there are some who believe that the governor, at least while the state of emergency is in effect, could replace him. The governor says there's legal questions, but in any case, the governor's not doing it, and McCullough's not recusing himself. What are your thoughts about that? And since the council does have jurisdiction, like over the prosecutor's budget and all that, any thoughts?
Well, I certainly think that the prosecutor, Bob McCullough, should not be on the case. I think that if for only the reason the fact that the public doesn't trust him to do it, if I were in his position, I would not want to be the one that made that decision. And then whatever decision he makes, the public will question it. He will be scrutinized. So for that reason, I would move aside. As far as the governor making the decision, I'm not sure who is actually supposed to make the decision. I was told, or I saw where Bob McCullough said that the governor could make the decision.
Only while the state of emergency is in effect. Otherwise, the governor cannot. The only way to remove Bob McCullough from the case
is through a judge.
Is through a judge.
And under a non-state of emergency situation. So, continue.
I think that the governor has to make that decision, and he has to live with the decision that he makes. I certainly wouldn't have been wanted to be the one that Bob McCullough threw it back in my lap, and then I didn't make a decision. So, as far as I'm concerned, I think if I were governor, I'd make the decision.
So why
do you think McCullough shouldn't be overseeing the case? Why?
Because of his past history with some other cases, for instance, the Jack in the Box, and which everybody's familiar with.
Wasn't that when two detectives who were off duty shot two people and killed them, basically?
Inside a car, I think.
Yeah. So, no, continue.
No, that's all good. They shot him inside a car, and I just think that his past history and his personal history, which he talked about a little bit on this news conference on television, and he apparently was emotional about it. And if you're emotional about it on television talking about it, who's to say that that doesn't influence your decision in the investigation?
Now, how split do you think Democrats are, not only over McCullough, but now with the county executives, that part of the Democratic nomination now over, but still the issue is, will Democrats coalesce behind Stinger, or some going to shift to Stream?
Because let's remember now, McCullough appeared in ads for Steve Stinger. He was a big get for him before this situation. And now that, you know, the African-American community in St. Louis County is just incensed with McCullough, a lot of us are wondering what's the effect on the county executive's race.
Right, because we have to emphasize McCullough has no Republican opponent in November, so his race is done. Now, one interesting thing is I spoke to a Democratic group in one of the townships last night. I do these nonpartisan just talking. And I did a vote. There was about 40 people. And these are all Democratic activists. I asked how many should believe McCullough should recuse himself. Five. This was only five. I was stunned. So I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying it showed to me
which township.
This was right. Jefferson Township in Webster Grove.
So
that makes a difference.
But that's a swing township.
A largely white one.
Correct. So. But what I'm saying is that is the kind of thing that gives you a sense of what may or may not be going on behind the scenes.
Let's go back to the question. What impact do you think this will have on the county executive's race going forward? Yes.
I think it will have a huge impact from what I've been hearing.
Okay, in what way?
I believe that people feel that if they support Steve Stinger, they're supporting the prosecuting attorney.
So what do you think they're going to do? Are they going to vote for Stream or just not vote?
I have no idea.
I mean, what sort of talk are you hearing?
Well, it's obvious in the ads that were you know, going out for Steve Stinger. The Steve Stinger said, Bob McCullough and I will clean up St. Louis County. So draw your conclusions from that. And I think that's what other people are doing.
So, but regardless of who wins that, there's going to be a new county executive. You will return to the council for another 4 years because you won your primary, which is tantamount to election. How do you think the council will kind of emerge after Charlie Dooley leaves office? Is it really going to depend on who wins? Could you imagine, you know, a Republican being county executive? Like, what do you think it's going to be in January with you on the council?
I really don't know what the council will be like, but it's my hope that we will work together and do what's best for the citizens of St. Louis County. It shouldn't have anything to do with your political party. It should just be about what people, you know, looking after the people. So I have no idea what it'll be like. I still stand behind the fact that I think Charlie Dooley would have been the best candidate and that, you know, to move St. Louis County forward. I'm hoping that the other two will do the same.
Do you think the council will become less factionalized after the election? Because one of the things I noticed when Kathleen Kelly Burkett was still on the council, it was you and her pretty much versus the rest of the council. And it was pretty obvious that the battle lines had been drawn. Do you think that, especially with new members that are going to be there, as well as this county executive's race being in the background, do you think it'll be more cohesive or do you think that the fights will reemerge somehow?
Well, I thought it would be more cohesive after the primary, and last night was an example that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure with the new council members coming on and the new county executive. I'm not sure, but you can kind of guess what it might be like in terms of being fair, because we still have the inclusion legislation hanging out there. No one's concerned about it except me. One out of six right now.
Yeah,
and I'm not counting Sam Page. He just came on.
Yeah, we can't fault him. He's only been there for a few days. And the other wild card is if Stinger ends up winning, his seat becomes vacant, and there's I think a decent possibility a Republican could take over that seat. So that kind of is another added wrinkle to the relationship. So we'll have to see. So.
Yes, and we will have to close it off there. You can read all of our stories at stlpublicradio.org. You can follow me on Twitter at CS McDaniel.
Jay Rosenbaum.
And Joe.
It's Jay Manis. It's J-M-A-N-N-I-E-S.
We'll be back next week. Until then, so long.
So long.